Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach Gus Bradley to wrap up the 2015 season. Got one show after this one, and we hope that you might be able to join us for that one. I know you got a busy schedule coming up.
Yeah, a little busy, Logs. Got some things going on, so but it's always good to be back here with you.
Yeah, glad you made it, and certainly a lot of activity since the end of the season. But before we get to the activity on the end of the season, to look back, have you guys as a staff had a chance to go back and reflect and grade and do all the things that you do to kind of put a wrap or a bow, I guess you could say, on the season?
No, that's, you know, we had a team meeting on Monday and then exit meetings with the players. And then, you know, then we meet as a staff. I try to meet with everybody individually. So, you know, those meetings can go from a couple minutes or, you know, 10 minutes to an hour. So, you know, and that takes some time to finish all those up.
And how do you work as a staff? You know, do you give, you know, because I remember we talked about this a little bit last year, to where sometimes maybe a little time away to maybe gather thoughts and to distance yourself from the last game. That way when the staff comes back, they can have a different viewpoint maybe on things.
Sure.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, you try to. I mean, you're gone. You're really gone from the start of the season, and there's a bye week in there where you get a couple of days. But other than that, you're going straight through. So to give the staff some time off, to get away, to reconnect with their family, and it's also healthy because it comes back with a different perspective. So when we do take a look at all those plays and do all the cut-ups and analyze it, you know, we've got really a fresh perspective.
A lot of people don't realize, I mean, what a coaching staff does as far as the commitment that it requires in season. If you had to put a number of hours that are worked in season on average, I mean, you know, most people, 40-hour work week. The NFL is a little different. You know, the NFL requires a little bit bigger commitment. Could you even put a number on it?
No, not off the top of my head, but it's, you know, it's funny because you know your schedule. I could tell you what's going to take place, you know, on a Tuesday during the season and, you know, the time frame. So, you know, it varies for everybody. But, you know, the early parts of the week, the typical days, you come in at, you know, for a staff member, 5 o'clock in the morning, and they'll leave, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, probably about midnight, 11:30, you know, some cases a little bit later. Thursday, they try to get home a little bit earlier, you know, maybe 9:30. And then Friday is their day when they get to see their family and try to get them out of the building by about 3.
How do you get enough sleep?
Well,
I 7 hours, 6 hours. I mean, give me 6 or 7 hours and I'm good. But, I mean, what schedule you're talking about is averaging about 5 hours of sleep a night.
Well, you know, I think you just get into it where it becomes a routine. You know what's going on. And that's why it's so important, I think, at the end of the season, just to give them a few weeks off and to kind of regroup and re-energize.
You've had 4 days since the last game at Houston. Have you looked back at that game and gathered any thoughts that maybe you didn't have right after?
Oh, yeah. I think we addressed them, you know, on Monday in the press conference. And, you know, yeah, we looked at it multiple times. I was just with Greg Olson, and we went back and we looked at the defensive side. And you know how he would try to attack the defense, and personnel, and so multiple conversations, and some things showed up. Like I said, I think we didn't tackle very good. We need to, you know, we didn't protect as well as we had hoped, and they did a good job.
And since then, there's been some change. You let Bob Babich go as your defensive coordinator, and now the question is, where do you go from here? You know, and that's the obvious question. And the question I wanted to put out there to you is that as you kind of go along with this journey of finding a defensive coordinator, there are obviously a lot of options that you have. Do you worry about you being on a one-year deal to be able to get what you want to get in a defensive coordinator?
No, I think no. I'm, you know, in this league, you know, I think that everybody's in different situations, and you know, look at across the league, some guys, you know, have gotten let go after being 1 year on the job or 2 years on the job. So I think players, people understand that in the NFL, it's challenging. And they look at this and the leadership we have with Dave and Shad, and I think, you know, word has gotten out just about how strong they are and the type of commitment and, you know, that they really have a vision. We really have a vision, and we're sticking to it. And I think that in itself brings strength. I know if you looked at my phone, it's not slowing things down.
It's lighting up a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
It's lighting up a lot. But, you know, there's a lot of people kind of trying to figure out what direction you may go. Do you have a plan? And I'm not asking for names, but is this a thing that you're to say, look, you know, I'm going to go into this with an open mind, and I'm going to look at everything?
Sure.
Whether it's a different scheme or whatever.
Yeah, no, I take a look at everything, all the options. I love this part of it because you get a chance to visit with people. And you gain information, you gain perspective on things. And, you know, it's been very good. I know last year when I went through the whole process, it was very challenging, but very good. And, I expect nothing different this year.
And a lot of names being thrown about, and obviously the names that are being put out there are people's, I don't want to say educated guesses, but guesses. And some of those are included of people that are on your staff. Todd Walsh, Dwayne Walker could be possible candidates that people have named. And there are also, now in the National Football League, there's 8 head coaching changes, which also puts a lot of people out there that are looking for work. You're going to have quite the decision to make.
Yeah, it will be challenging. And you're right. We've got some talented staff members. And, you know, the team really respects them, the players. And, you know, you're looking for hard work, intelligence, respect to the players, you know, all those respect to the organization or loyalty to the organization and to the other coaches. So, and knowledge of the scheme. And it doesn't have to be necessarily our scheme, but I know – you know, the players really own that part. They own the communication part. We've got to get better in some areas, but, you know, the learning curve, and that's what's so important, just like the offense, to have another year now with Ole and the offensive staff and not the teaching part of it, but really the owning part of the scheme will be a great advantage for us.
When Greg Olsen took over the reins as offensive coordinator, was the terminology changed? Or did Greg change his terminology that was maybe some type of carryover from Jed Fish?
Right. I think it, you know, probably minimal carryover from when Jed was the offensive coordinator. There were some things maybe formation-wise or some things that he could carry over and only adjusted. But, you know, it's a different scheme. So, you know, he really had to teach the staff and the players the new scheme.
So, and the reason I ask that is because, you know, if with a defensive – change at coordinator, whatever that may be, do you look at maybe trying to have some carryover, or you just you're open at all and looking at all options?
Yeah, I'm open to look. I mean, you kind of have a plan, you know, Logs. I kind of have, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, and now let's go to work and see. And you know, I think as we go through it becomes clear. I think sometimes you just have to go through the process, and it kind of brings it to light. Look at Doug Marrone last year. He came to visit about head coach. You know, he had a couple of interviews and wanted to talk about some of the experiences as a head coach. And I said, let's go. That'd be great for me. And we sat and talked. And next thing you know, he walks away a couple of weeks later, and he's our O-line coach. So, you know, I think you, by giving yourself the opportunity to visit, sometimes you find out that it's a good match, and you get better as a staff.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I asked that, because, you know, NFL defenses aren't that different. You know, I mean, when a defense runs a coverage, you know, it's not like people run drastically different coverages. Do you have more ability to have carryover on the defensive side of the ball as opposed to the offense, to where the transition or the ability to transition into a new defense with little lag time, is it better?
Well, you know, there's all the technique, though, and the conversations that you have with the coordinator, what he's calling it, how the way he talks, the way he puts it together, you know, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. So obviously if the communication can stay very similar, or the terminology can stay similar, I think that gives you a head start on things. So, but every defense is different now. No matter what, there's going to be a transition. you'd like to limit it as much as possible.
And as part of that transition, you know, when are you guys even going to be able to have contact with the players? Because, you know, a lot of people would say, okay, the sooner that it happens, the better. But is there really a time constraint to name a coordinator in your mind?
No. It could happen in a week. It could happen in 3 weeks. You know, whenever, you know, you go through it and you have an answer and it comes to you and you feel good about where you're at, then you go for it. And then, you know, give him a chance to meet with the rest of the staff and visit with them and see if it's a good fit and, you know, allow him to have some say on who's going to be part of his staff.
How does this process work? Like, let's say you've got three guys in mind. Do you bring him in to talk to the current staff that you have in place, Dave Caldwell, even Greg Olson, to get as many, I don't want to say opinions, but to get as much input as you possibly can get?
Yeah, I won't get involved to everybody who will meet with them, but yeah, I mean, Dave will be in here and I'll be interviewing. Some of the coaches will be on break, but the ones that need to be here will be here. And then, you know, we formulate some questions and go through it. This is not a easy process. You know, I think I remember when I was in Seattle, my interview when I was there with Jim Mora, I think we started at 7 in the morning and I walked out of the building at 11 at night. You know, so
12 hours.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable process.
I hope there was some food involved in that 12 hours.
I said 7 to 11.
Oh, 7 to 11.
Yeah, so
that's more than that.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a challenging because you go through philosophy, how they handle situations and you know, things that would come up in a meeting room. And I mean, so many questions. You're trying to get it done in a short period of time.
This had to be difficult for you. I mean, Bob and you go back very long time, all the way back to North Dakota State, right?
Yeah, it's very difficult. You know, no one wants to hear how tough it is. You know, this job, we get paid to make tough decisions. But it doesn't take away. Bob and Nancy are great friends of our family. For our oldest son, they were there for his first Holy Communion. You know, it's... you know, so you go back and you got great relationships and you hope things like this doesn't deter the relationship. But it hurts and it stings and, you know, I don't feel good about it. But, you know, I think Bob is so professional, handled it very well, and he ultimately wants what's best for the organization too. And some things we agree to disagree on. But, you know, he's a class act and very well thought of in our building. And the players respect him a great deal.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk about other potential changes within the organization. Namely, Doug Marrone has been mentioned as a head coaching candidate at numerous other different places. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. This segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, and talked at length there in the first segment about Bob Babich and the defensive coordinator position that is now open for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Gus, a lot of rumors that are flying around that Doug Marrone is interviewing at different places. Is he interviewing at all these places that people are saying he is?
You know what? I've been in meetings today with Dave, and I know he wasn't in today. So, you know what? He'll communicate with me and let me know what's going on. So I know his name's been mentioned, but where he is right now, I don't know if he's back in Jacksonville or you know, visiting with somebody.
If with a guy like Doug, to where, you know, comes in the first year with Greg Olson, new system, you may end up having to replace him if he ends up getting a head coaching job somewhere else in the National Football League this year. In your mind, as a head coach, you have to prepare for that possibility, right?
Yeah, I think that you have your assistants, and then you have a list of names at each position. If something should happen, you know, just to take a look at and have an idea. But, boy, every year is different. You got to really make up that list every year because of, changes in staffs, and some guys might be under contract. So it's important to keep it up to date. But, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see what takes place with him. I wish him nothing but the best. He's been awesome here, helped us out tremendously. Players really like him. And you know what? If he does have this opportunity – You know, it's great. You know, I think he'll make a decision on what's best for him and his family.
Well, you talk about having a list. You know, I know that in personnel departments around the National Football League, they've got the old grease board up, and there's, okay, here's a guy at this position that's going to be an impending free agent. As a coaching staff, you almost have to have the same type of thing to where you're keeping track of what's out there, who's available, and what their track record is. You talk about always trying to keep a list up to date.
Right. Yeah, you do. You know, you find out through – that's why our analytics department helps out too. You know?
Really? And they've got it?
Yeah. You know, you get the names of guys, but if you need information, you know, some of their stats, as long as they've been a coach, you know, a D-line coach or a linebacker coach or DB coach or as a coordinator, you get all the information on them and statistics, and you kind of look at their background. So, you know, it's a small world too, the NFL. But we open up to everything. We're looking college. We're looking the NFL. We're just trying to find the best fit.
You know, after kind of looking back on the first year with Greg Olsen and the offensive staff, and it was some new faces on the offensive side of the ball, but it was also a couple old ones. Ron Middleton, the tight ends coach, stayed on. Jerry Sullivan stayed on. You happy with the way that group worked overall? I mean, because if you just looked at the numbers – the improvement as far as points a game, rankings, et cetera, it was a pretty dramatic improvement.
Well, you know, Greg Olsen did a great job. But it takes a village, right? It takes a lot of guys to be a part of it. And, you know, those additions and the staff that we brought in, Nathaniel and Ron Middleton and, you know, the whole group. I don't even want to start to mention them because I'll, you know, forget some of them. But he really did a good job meshing those personalities together because that's always a challenge. But, you know, very focused group, and they did a great job.
Well, and did a great job offensively speaking. And Jerry Sullivan, the wide receiving position, we're going to talk at length, but also the job that Kelly Skipper did with a very young backfield. Came over from the Oakland Raiders. All of those guys on the offensive staff, and I was kind of wondering about how the rules worked, because a lot of people that are fans of the National Football League don't truly understand what the rules are for allowing player or coaches to be able to go somewhere else. Explain the rules to me. Let's say team A, and there's eight teams out there that are going to have head coach openings now. Can you, as a head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, if somebody calls up and say, hey, we want to hire coach X off of your offensive staff, and it's a lateral move, can you deny that? And then also, it's kind of a three-part question, a lateral move. If we want to hire a positional coach and elevate him to a coordinator position, can you deny that? And then also, what's the rules for if somebody requests to talk to somebody to be a head coach? Are there different rules that govern all levels of,
right,
of that?
Well, it's in the contract, and then it's really up to the organization. You know, so for example, the first one, we have a running back coach that wants to go to another team to be a running back coach, and he's under contract with us. Well, we can block it. And, you know, that's the organization's stance on it. And then let's say he's a running back coach and has a chance to be an offensive coordinator. We can block it if he's under contract. So even though it's an elevation, that can take place. Some teams choose to use that. They sign the contract. We're going to, you know, block this opportunity. Other teams are more forgiving. You know, say, all right, you know what? Here's a great opportunity for you. We understand, and if you want to move on to get that opportunity, go for it. So it's really dependent on that. But then as a head coach, you can't block it. If they have an opportunity to interview as a head coaching position, then generally, you know, they have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I thought that's the way the rules were written, but I just wanted to confirm it with you because – I mean, with eight openings around the National Football League, there's going to be a lot of people calling.
Yeah, there always is. And I know last year I talked to a position coach to try to come and be, a coordinator here. Remember, in the offensive coordinator. And I've got blocked on it. So it's really up to the team.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll continue on with the head coach right after this on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, Gus Bradley. And we're going to open it up for some phone calls. If you'd like to call 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351 is the number to get in. And Gus, a lot of positives, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But before we get to that, from watching the film of the Houston Texans game, there was one guy that I just had to mention because, you know, in a game that people view as meaningless because it had no playoff implications for you guys, one guy I thought stood out in the game, meant a lot to him on defense, and it was probably more than just him, but the one guy that really caught my eye was Roy Miller. I mean, if there was ever a guy that, you know, because some people say this, that you have a game at the end of the year to where there's quote-unquote nothing to play for. If you watch the performance of Roy Miller, you would have thought that everything was on the line.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the whole year, right, Logs? I mean, this guy had a tremendous, tremendous year. And sometimes you don't get the recognition, especially like in the Pro Bowl voting and because of how they maybe identify each position, and there's not many, you know, noses that go. But he had an incredible year now. And you're right, from start to finish, this guy had one level of play, and it was always very high.
And I thought that in that Houston game, if the ball was anywhere between the tackles, Roy was involved in the play.
Yeah, he's done a good job. And his zone schemes. And so some of these plays are sideline to sideline, and you saw him run. But, yeah, he's just had a tremendous year for us.
All right, let's sneak in a phone call here. Dave is in Mandarin. Let's bring him up. Good evening, Dave.
Hey, good evening, guys, and Happy New Year.
Hey, good. Nice to see you, Dave, or hear from you, I should say.
Absolutely, man. Coach Gus, I talked to you earlier in the year, man. I'm an original season ticket holder, and my grandson is now 2.5 years old, so he'll be third-generation Jaguar. But, you know, the way I look at this, Coach, is my glass is half full. I love having an NFL team here in Jacksonville. I know that there's bigger and better things to come, and I know you've been ragged, you know, by fans and whatnot from the outside looking in, but we really don't know the whole everything that goes on, you know, within the organization and stuff. And the product on the field, sometimes we walk away with a sour taste in our mouth, but we keep coming back game after game after game, and we are the guys that will keep doing that for you, Coach, because you are one awesome coach, man. I wish you guys the best and the happiest New Year's, and I look forward to a wonderful season next year, man. Appreciate the call, and y'all take care.
Well, I appreciate that. That's appreciate those words of faith, and you know, that's what it's about. I think you know, Dave and I met again today, and the relationship we have, where we challenge one another, but the vision we have, and it's not just Dave and I; it's Chad and Mark Lamping, and we're all in this together. And you know, we take a look at, and the question is, you know, how do you evaluate? Where are we at? Are we making progress? Are we making the type of progress we want? How can we, you know, get it going faster? And but the whole objective is to have a team that year in and year out competes for championships, and that's what we're trying to build here. And it takes time, but we all understand it's we want it to happen as fast as possible. So to have fans like that, Logs, it's great.
I appreciate the call, Dave. And one of the areas that was very easy to see the improvement was the performance of the offense. Boy, the stability that the offensive line provided for the growth of everybody at the skill positions, I think, had to be the key to that. The additions of Jeremy Parnell, Wisniewski at the center spot, and also the improvement of the other guys that played, and also the job that A.J. Cann was able to do as a rookie, has to be the key to that.
Well, it starts up front, and those guys did a good job. I think our objective was to cut down the number of sacks dramatically, and we did that. We'd like to have it even more, but it does start up front. Those guys with the run blocking and protection, and I thought they did a nice job working together. Sometimes even those things take time, but I thought that progress was sped up too by coaching of Doug Marone and Luke Butkus and the players. Now give a lot of credit to them and their intelligence to pick up a new scheme fast.
Do you look forward to next year when the offensive line, because, you know, a lot of people forget, Brandon Leonard was lost early in the season. Josh Wells, who's the swing tackle, is lost as well with a thumb injury. And A.J. was playing the right side, which he played at left in college for, I think, 51 starts. Boy, Tyler Shatley also in the mix. I mean, there's a lot of depth at that group. It's a group that I would think that you feel pretty comfortable with.
Right, and we challenge them. You know, I think the big part right now in this offseason is to get stronger. You know, utilize this time, not for the running and the conditioning, although they'll do some of that, but to get in that weight room and just put on the right kind of weight and become stronger. And if that group does that as a whole, then that's a pretty good group now. We like the changes they made, We like the additions that have been brought in, and then, you know, the progress they've made.
When you talk about getting stronger, most coaches talk about an offensive line as to getting stronger, meaning we need to run the ball better than what we did.
Well, I think that's big. When you look at when you have the ability to run the ball, you know, it's just so much of the offense opens up. It's you know, it's when you look at teams that are in the playoffs, for the most part, they all run the ball pretty well, or, you know, at least in the top 10 or top 15 in running the ball. So when you have that capabilities, just like the Seattle-Minnesota game, how important is it going to be to run the ball in that type of weather, that type of game? So you have to do it. You have to establish yourself as a running team, and then you feed off of that with the play passes.
All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll take more of the calls. 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351. And you can talk to the head coach, and we'll also talk about the wide receivers and the quarterback right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, and let's jump right into the phone lines and bring up Andrew, who is in Arlington this evening. Good evening, Andrew.
Hey, good evening, guys. Coach, just a quick question. How do you guys send these guys off in the offseason? Obviously, hey, hit the weights, that kind of thing, but do you give them kind of any homework assignment, something they need to be watching, something they need to be doing in the next few months? I know you don't have a lot of contact with them, but how do you send them off?
Right. You know what? They have a chance. We have exit meetings with their position coach. So they'll sit down with them and kind of have a good tape and a bad tape, and they have access to that. But you're right. We can't have any contact with them, any
at
conversation
all.
At all regarding football, or to send them tapes, or to, you know, to visit with them about technique, or just, you know, that's what's unfortunate for us.
From that exit interview until when?
Till phase one, when we get back together. So, yeah, it's very challenging. You know, I think it'd be nice if we could have it to where the vested players, I understand, but the ones that aren't, you know, to give them the structure where we can work with them. And, you know, I think it would be great for younger players. But that's not the case. And so you're right. That last team meeting with them is very important to send them off. We talk about the weights. We talk about protect the team and making good decisions and taking care of their bodies and competing by talking to other players about setting up a routine. So we have a whole list of things, Andrew, that we talk to them about.
If a player wanted to get film from the coaching staff between now and phase one, they can't do that?
Well, they come in the building and they go into the machine and there's a cut up there and they watch it on their own. Just no coach can be in the room with them.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that, because that seems to be kind of odd and counterproductive. I appreciate the call, Andrew. And let's go to Captain, who is in Mandarin. Good evening, Captain.
Hey, guys. I had a question. Really enjoyed the season. The team's fun to watch again with the offense and Bortles and the receivers and everything. But what happened to Bowanko? I mean, he seemed to be a major player last year, and, you know, was with Wisniewski, you know, battling for the center spot, and then he just kind of haven't heard anything about him all season, and he seemed to be a pretty exciting prospect there on the O-line, and I'm just curious we didn't hear much about him. I was wondering what his future is, and I'll take it offline.
Okay, that's great, Captain. I appreciate you calling. Well, Luke Bowanko, you're right. He played quite a bit last year for us, obviously. And this year with Wiz coming in and playing the center spot, we had that strong competition during training camp. And then during the season, we took this time to kind of have Bo spread himself around a little bit. Played guard, played center, played tackle in practice, and we really tried to develop him as a tackle to be that swing guy. So it was, although he didn't get on the field, it was hard for him to get active. We really utilized this time to make him more of a swing guy. You know, he could play three spots. And he did a nice job. I'm really looking forward to this offseason being a big offseason for him. I think it's not fun not playing, not being active, but I'm sure it will motivate him during this offseason.
Yeah, from a conversation that I've had with him a couple different times, he said the one area that he just really wants to focus in on is what you mentioned earlier, getting stronger.
Right. And I think, you know, those guys are already in here. They're working out every day, and they're not taking much of a break. So he's, you know, he's a big player that has a chance to get stronger and really help us out in the future.
All right, let's go talk to Mary, who is in Mandarin this evening. Good evening, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary, and I just wanted to say I'm very happy that you're going to still be coaching our team and that you're staying, and that there's a lot of people in the city that are thrilled with you. And sometimes I think that the positive voices aren't as loud as the challenging voices. I just wanted to let you know that we're here to support you, and that's all I wanted to say, Coach. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. It's very kind of you to call. And you know, I think the support you have for the organization, for the players, that's what's important. And you know, our fans have been outstanding. And like I said, we have a vision, and we're trying to do everything we can to allow that vision to come true. And it's with people like you that it makes us want to even work harder. So thank you.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll come back with a couple recent and one very recent news item right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars, on the network, on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, today it was announced that Allen Robinson would be headed to the Pro Bowl. Calvin Johnson will not play because of an injury. And got to be excited for Allen Robinson and the year he's had.
Oh, I know. I got to give him a call. I mean, what a great opportunity for him. We don't, you know, talk much about these things in during the season, but what an accomplishment, you know. And the way he works, the way he goes about his craft, so happy for him. It'd be a great experience.
Boy, what he was able to accomplish, because a lot of people forget that last year his season ended early because of the foot injury. Ended up having surgery on his foot. Didn't even become available until, when was it, June?
Yeah.
That was late, wasn't it? Minicamp? You know,
yeah, it was, I think, during OTAs.
Okay, sometime in May or whatever it was. And to be able to come back and have the year that he did and make the progress, you know, I've been watching football for a long time and a lot of Jaguar football for a long time, and I don't recall a player that made that much progress from one year to the next at a skill position like that.
Right. You know, and this is part of the conversation Dave and I had today was, you know, he remembers at times where sometimes it takes wide receivers 3 years, 4 years before they finally get into a groove. And that's not abnormal for that to happen. And so when you see guys like Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson really speed up that maturity, that's a great sign. And we've got other guys, right, like Marquise. You know, that's why it's disappointing for him, because the injuries set that race back a little bit. But he's coming along now, and we'll get him going as well with Rashad.
That position group, when you factor in Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Rashad Green, Brian Walters, put him in the mix as well. Is that what the ultimate goal is, to get every position group like, to where it becomes, because it's highly competitive for
right.
touches, and it's highly competitive for play time?
Yeah, you'd like to have that type of competition with each group, and that's the objective. You're starting to see it within groups too, especially on the offensive side. Now, defensively, you know, you're seeing it as well, but it's only going to get stronger now within our home group. And you know, I talk about defensively the need for added competition, because it also helps special teams. Although a lot of offensive players play it, that you really gain most of your players from the defensive side of the ball.
All right, the other news item, you're coaching the Senior Bowl again.
That's right.
Excited about that?
Yeah,
third year in
you know
a row.
What? You know, when it was brought to my attention, and Dave said, "What do you think?" And it was, you know, we both agreed that's who we are. If we have an opportunity to compete and go there. And listen, you know, once you're there, we're going to be there. you know, as most of our staff is going to be there to watch it. So if you're going to be there, you might as well coach it. So it didn't work out for some other teams because of some changes, and they passed on it. And when it got to us as a team, I mean, we're going to do it. And you never stop competing. I don't know what statement that would say for us and how we talk about competing not to do it.
What's the most valuable thing that you gain by coaching the Senior Bowl? I know that Dave Caldwell probably gets more access to everything and the information that you guys can get from spending so much time with these players. But as a coach, what is the most important thing that you get from coaching the Senior Bowl as opposed to just watching the practice?
Well, the relationships part. I mean, you're with these guys for long periods of time. You get to see them in the meeting, and you see them how they're bright-eyed the first day, and then you see them 4 days later and how they are when everybody's gone. But, you know, you do develop a relationship with these guys. And I know even after games now, when after games you shake hands with the head coach, players will come up that you coached in the Senior Bowl. And, that's a big part of it. But it really helps out with the draft process for our scouts, for Dave, and for the coaching staff.
How many guys have you drafted that participated in the Senior Bowl? What is that number? J.P. Shadrick is standing close by to be our research assistant. We'll find that number here pretty quick. But, I mean, it's a significant number.
It is. And, and the benefits, too, are for free agency down the road. You know, when guys become available as free agents, you've had a chance to coach them in the Senior Bowl, and, you know, it's good.
And that's one step in the process. You also have free agency that's going to be coming up. You talked about the need for improving on defense. And when is the actual start of the free agency evaluation process for you as a coaching staff to add key components to the defensive side of the
ball? We'll start evaluations once we come back from the Senior Bowl. The coaches are responsible to write up free agents, and we have that done, and we give all those reports to Dave, and then Dave and I and the scouts will take a look at it, and then we jump right into the combine, and then we come back from the combine, and then, you know, free agency starts up.
When's the break in all that? Is there a break really anymore? Is there an off season?
No, you know, there really isn't. For coaches, that's why it's so important right now for these guys to get out of here and regroup a little bit. But it's something different though. You know, free agency, the combine, to phase one, to OTAs. I really enjoy about it too is the time where you can just sit and watch tape. You know, to go in there and really analyze some things and watch other teams and stay on top of things.
Do you, just before we take a break, do you watch tape of playoff games? Of maybe you're sitting at home or you're maybe wherever and you're watching a game on television kind of, half-heartedly. Do you see something on film? You say, you know what, I want to go back and watch that on tape of a playoff game.
Without a doubt. You see a route concept or for a defense, you know, how they're trying to attack them. And you go back and analyze it. And I've done that multiple times. Now, I don't get a chance to watch many NFL games on TV. There might be a time where it's a Sunday night game that you see something and you go back and look at it.
Can you watch an NFL game and relax and just watch it as a football fan? Is that even possible?
Yeah. You know what? You I think you're always analyzing,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I suppose. You know, you just don't know any other way.
Yeah. Interesting. Know? All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk more of the head coach and specifically about the quarterback, Blake Bortles, right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logman with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Blake Bortles certainly had a tremendous year. And it was fun watching him all year long because the first year that he played, he would come out and he'd warm up a little bit. But there was never really any kind of routine that he had, Gus, pregame warm-up for the games. And then this year he comes out, he's got his mesh bag, he's got some towels in there, he's got these little balls. He does this little warm-up routine, and then he has a very strict regime that he kind of goes through before he even throws a football.
Right.
That was interesting to watch because it stayed consistent from the beginning of the season and the preseason all the way to the end.
Right. You know what? That was a combination. He went and met with Tom House. I think, that was out there, that he spent some time with him in the off season, and then his visit with Greg Olson and Nathaniel Hackett. And they all talked to him about the importance of having a routine And he came up with that with the advice of all three of those guys. So, you know, you're right, though. It's very structured, and he does it every day. There's Fridays when we don't throw. We give him a day off on Friday from throwing during the week in practice, and he doesn't do it then. And, you know, we're just trying to find a way to keep his arm strong from start to finish through the season, because guys can get a tired arm. And, you know, I think it helped him tremendously. I think that, you know, he'll look this off season to strengthen it even more, and even more conviction on what he's doing.
The improvement that he had, obviously 35 touchdown passes, 4,428 yards. The rating jumps up to an 88.2. I mean, all of those are very easy to understand for the improvement. If you had to point to one thing that he made the greatest jump that isn't in a statistical category, what would it be from Blake Bortles this year?
Well, that wasn't a statistical category. Mm-hmm. I think his body language and his poise, I think both those things, you know, it was never bad, but I think those things were something that he wanted to concentrate on as a leader so the team wouldn't, respond negatively to the way he responded. And he really worked hard on that. Now, if you know, that statistics don't show, I mean, but his routine, off-the-field routine, and what he does in the off season, and the way he studied. I mean, this guy put countless hours in, and Chad Henne was right next to him with both Greg Olsen and Nathaniel Hackett. So, and then also on top of it, we met Lugs. I mean, he would come in, sit, and visit with me, and we would talk, you know, on a different perspective, defensive perspective, and then on leadership. So he had a busy, busy week.
Interesting that we had him on the Gus Bradley television show, and I asked him the question, what does he most look forward to once the season is over? And his answer was, not having to set an alarm clock.
Yeah.
I mean, because his day starts early, too.
It does.
Like coaches.
Yeah, sometimes it's the simplest things, right, Logs? But you know, it won't take him long, and he'll be back up and going. But I just love his competitiveness. He worked his tail off now. Give him a lot of credit for what he did in the off season and learning a whole new offensive system. And a lot was placed on him, and he took advantage of it.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. One short segment left to go here, right here with the head coach on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And close out the show. Let's real quick go to James on the south side. And James, we got about a minute. If you'd like to go ahead and get a question in with the head coach.
Hey, Coach, real quick, I respect you and the job you do and how hard it is. I mean, all the coaches let go this year around the NFL, and I got your back. But two quick, fun questions. Have you ever coached or played in a game that's going to be as cold as the Minnesota-Seattle game this weekend? And number two, as just a fan of the man, who's the team to beat in the AFC without analyzing it? Who would you think the team to beat is?
Wow. Okay. Yes, I have played in cold weather. In college, we played in a very cold game. I know one time we played in Green Bay when I was in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It was really cold, below zero. And I think a playoff game that was below zero in Chicago. But nothing like what's going to take place up there.
What are they forecasting?
I think it's, minus 25 below or?
Minus 10 temperature-wise.
With the wind chill?
Wind chill a little bit even colder than that.
So, yeah, it'll be cool.
Well, you played college football in Fargo, North Dakota.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he said coach, I think, but yeah, and played. Yeah, there's games that
it's
was
a heck of a
ball.
Difference between coaching in cold weather and playing in cold weather.
That's right.
Where were you at for that cold weather game when you were in college?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, but where were you at on the sideline? You were telling this story earlier.
I was out there, man. I was playing cover 9 at 5 foot reading at 10 yards, Logs. Is that the story, that one?
I don't think that's the one I heard.
Okay. I'm trying to think. And then he asked something else. What was it about?
The AFC. Who's going to win the AFC?
Oh, the AFC. Boy, that's a good question. You know, I did like Pittsburgh. Now, you know, just in seeing them in breakdown games. But usually a team that has a good offense, a good defense. You know, you're talking about New England. They're going to have guys back. You know, they're an extremely good team. Extremely good team. That Kansas City and Houston team game, I think, is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. What takes place there.
Good matchup there.
Yeah, it is a good matchup because Houston's defense is very good.
What about the NFC? Are you still a Seattle fan?
Fan? Yeah, you know a lot of those guys up there, and so you always pull for guys that you have coached at one time. And, you know, and they're playing very good offensively and defensively, too. And
kind of on a roll.
Yeah, they did.
All right, Gus, appreciate it. And okay. We'll talk to you sometime next week, whether you're here or doing the circuit for interviews, whatever. Maybe we can get you on next week.
That'd be great. Okay, thanks,
Gus. And we'll talk to everybody next week right here on the Gus Bradley Show. Everybody have a great week.